There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into the latest Packers podcast brought to you by JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with my co-host Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Tom, here comes the meat, the heart of the Packers schedule, I guess. Three games before the bye, the next four or five on the road.
Yeah.
And they head to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs
as big time favorites in this game, of course, because Patrick Mahomes is, I don't know, can I say he's probably not going to play? I don't know if we can even say that at Thursday morning at 11:28 a.m. as to whether he's going to play or not. I liken this, it reminded me immediately about 1995 when, I think it was 95, 94, I lose my my memories going, when Andy Reid was on the staff here and Brett Favre hurt his ankle in Minnesota and it was grossly twisted and there was no way he was going to play. He was pretty much out. And then on Friday came in and was like, well, let's give it a try, and they wrapped it up and, you know, they... Holmgren was concerned about his mobility, which is what's going on with Patrick Mahomes with his dislocated kneecap. And they finally decided, all right, well, we'll come up with a game plan. They'll wrap it up. He won't move. There will be no movement. And the guy went out and threw five touchdown passes to beat Chicago. You know, it was remarkable standing in the pocket. So Andy Reid has this in his mind, you know, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they do come up with some kind of a plan where as long as the medical staff is okay with him playing, he'll have a brace, they'll max protect a lot, and who knows, maybe he will play. It's either that or a big smokescreen to make the Packers think that he might play. I think we'll know hours from now when the injury report comes out. If he does something, then there's probably a little chance. If he doesn't do anything today, then I don't think he plays.
Yeah, I had an orthopedic surgeon tell me it would be a quote, aggressive decision for the Chiefs to play him, but he's like, you know, it's football, and it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Because with the dislocated kneecap, the bracing for that is pretty specific to that, you know, to that area of the knee. But he's like, it's football.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers played on a broken leg and a sprained knee last year.
I mean, they could put him in a shotgun or pistol. I mean, that's what they did with Rodgers when he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
They just put him in pistol and he hands off and he throws on quick. And you could do that. I just wouldn't want Za'Darius Smith, some guy to miss a block, and Za'Darius Smith, if I'm Andy Reid, to have a clear shot on Patrick Mahomes, you know?
Yeah, and I you know, it's interesting with that. I'm sure it's just like the Packers calculus last year, where I mean, the risk of injury is there every play, you know, with a clean shot. I'd argue that sort of game plan, Tom, the quick throws, you know, what makes Mahomes kind of special, like Aaron Rodgers when healthy, is the off-schedule stuff, getting out of the pocket, extending plays. However, I think the game plan from Oakland shows if you get the ball out and all you do is move up a little bit, you can take advantage of this Packers defense getting it to Travis Kelce and those running backs. So, I mean, there's a formula there that Andy Reid had 10 days to kind of look at.
And Pettine has to decide, okay, let's say that Mahomes plays and he's not mobile. Do you just bring the house against him? You got to still be able to cover, you know, Sammy Watkins and Hill and Travis Kelce. You know, can you cover those guys one-on-one if you're bringing the house? I don't know.
I don't think you can cover, even with for as good as Jair Alexander can be, I don't think anyone can cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one.
Probably.
At least not for...
Not down after down.
Right, exactly. No. So, especially, you know, you mentioned Watkins. You know, he had been out with a hamstring. He practiced fully on Wednesday.
I think he's returning.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is sort of the full complement of offensive players for Kansas City. And look, you know, Matt Moore... I don't know. I mean, he was coaching high school football last year, Tom. I mean,
yeah, I know, but he has not a bad record as a. I mean, I don't know what his record is, but I remember him.
He
being
started
fairly
games, yeah.
good when he'd come in Miami. I remember he had a nice little streak. In doing that story on odds this week, one of the odds makers told me was that. Backup quarterbacks are 9-1 against the spread this year.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. You know, that shows you that people inflate, you know, how they think teams are going to do when they're facing backup quarterbacks. Now, you know, we have some pretty good examples. Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville has been really good. Teddy Bridgewater in New Orleans has been really good. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other guys. But there have been backups who've been pretty decent.
And Andy Reid, you know, you give him that time and all the little skill guys.
Yeah,
you know, they'll really figure out a way. Especially there's enough holes in this Pettine defense with the run game. I don't know. I mean, LeSean McCoy, you know, I'm sure he's got a little bit left in the tank. I don't know if he's the guy at 31 you can hand it off like Oakland did with Josh
no,
Jacobs.
But I think you could do. I think you could do some damage against this defense with him. I don't know if he can get around a corner like he once could, but he's still pretty. You know, he's pretty shifty, and I don't know what's he averaging about.
He's still effective.
5.4 yards a carry.
You know, he's only got 60 attempts though in 7 games total. I mean, I know he obviously didn't start the year in Kansas City, so. You know, I think to me it's the Travis Kelce show.
Yeah, they have to figure out how to cover him,
especially if it is Matt Moore. You know, I mean, I think it's you throw it in Blake Bell, 2 catches, but he's 6'5", 250 pounds. And to me, Tom, I'm thinking you mentioned Max Protect one way or the other. Even if it's Matt Moore, I think you still Max Protect because again. Coaching high school football last year, those glory days of the Miami Dolphins, and Matt Moore was in 2014, 2015. So, but that sort of plays into maybe the Chiefs' hands and not into the Packers' defense, where you've got a couple more big tight ends, and we're not, and that's been an issue, you know, running backs. And again, we're not even talking about the threats on the outside.
Well, there's a big change in the Packers' defense this week, and that's that Darnell Savage appears like he's going to be back.
That is a huge difference.
I would think about, if I'm Pettine, lining up either Redmond or Savage over Kelce. And you're going to have to play nickel the whole game, probably, which makes you susceptible to the run, but... I think I would rather have them, if I'm Pettine, I'd rather have them beat me on the ground than throwing down the middle of the field to Kelce, because at least that's going to eat up some time. And, you know, if the Packers' offense can do anything, which they should be able to against this defense, then the run game will be out the door if they can get ahead. So I would seriously consider playing the, you know, I call it the, it used to be the nickel 36 with Raven Green. But, you know, the nickel with the inside linebacker being a safety. And maybe that guy is Redmond or Savage, and he covers the tight end.
Does that present issues then with Tyreek Hill? Or do you just shade Adrian Amos over to his side and hope Kevin King can handle Sammy
Watkins? Yeah, they might. they might. So if you're in nickel, in that nickel package, you still have two safeties. You know,
that's
Redmond's
true.
The third. Well, yeah, Redmond's the third safety with Amos and Savage. So you could still play a cover two kind
that's
of
true.
Thing with those guys. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how he matches that up. Maybe he puts Oren Burks on him. Maybe he plays Oren Burks the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to Oren, you know, before we recorded this podcast on Wednesday, and he said he's itching a little bit.
Yeah.
He thinks he can help cover those tight ends, but it's been this has been part of the in-game rehab to a degree
mm-hmm.
with that pectoral muscle to see if he can play more defensively as opposed to just special teams.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows. He's seen it.
I think Oren Burks is a smart guy who is not an instinctual football player. So I'm sure he knows the defense and inside and out, but we've seen it in last year some, like when they played the Rams. Everything moved too fast for him. And he had trouble when they would put a running back out. Anyway, this will be a good test to find out where he's at. Maybe they have enough confidence in him now that that he could handle all the assignments. But Andy Reid is going to move people all over the place.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your strengths are different. You know, Gruden did it too. Gruden, you know, put the fullback in at halfback and the halfback in at fullback. And I mean, he did all kinds of crazy stuff. And Andy Reid and Gruden come from the same school. So I don't know if it's Oren Burks can handle that.
Well, how much worse could it get, though? I mean, you've got Blake Martinez and B.J. Goodson running 5 yards.
Yeah, but they won. You know, they
right.
The thing you got to remember is they played good in the red zone. Now, they
right.
got a break from Derek Carr fumbling in the end zone and a couple of holding calls
yeah.
that were good or that helped them out. But regardless, you just can't. You know, you can't give up touchdowns. They're giving up too many long plays. I will definitely give you that. Way too many long plays. And Gruden got them in situations where they were blowing coverages. I mean, Adrian Amos was blowing coverages, blew a coverage.
And Tyreek, the difference with this week is Tyreek Hill gets to the end zone. Will Redmond doesn't make
That's
the
true.
Ankle tackle.
That's true.
So yeah. I think, you know, Watkins, I guess we'll see. He's not
he
a burner.
Get to, well, he's can, pretty fast.
But, you know, assuming he's back healthy,
yeah.
full, all that stuff with the hamstring, that's maybe the difference,
right.
whether it's Mahomes or Moore.
Right.
I don't know, even 4-3 Will Redmond and 4-3, like, I mean, Tyreek Hill, I don't know him ever being caught from behind.
No.
So that's, I think, that's the danger in the chunk plays that they maybe haven't dealt with is the total runaway yet.
You know, he only has, well, he's been hurt.
Right.
So
he had the 57-yard touchdown, I think, at the end of last week's game.
Yeah, he has 10 catches for 170 yards, 3 touchdowns.
He's just come back, I think, the last couple weeks.
Right, right. So I guess, you know, Patton has a dilemma, as an old football coach used to say. You know, how do you – Which guys do you shade to, and how often do you blitz?
So. I think if it's – well, either way, if Mahomes plays, he's clearly hampered, and the off schedule is not a big a factor.
No,
so
and
I
you
think,
don't have to spy him, you know?
No, I could see – I mean, I know it drove the fans crazy, the kind of the zone coverages and some of the stuff they threw out against Oakland, but
– Maybe.
I mean, I could see the same – The
yeah.
same kind of deal. You just clamp down in the red zone if the Chiefs even get there. And I'll be honest, Tom. I mean, look, we've seen Mitchell Trubisky, the early version of Kirk Cousins that was awful. Joe Flacco, who's awful.
Yep.
Derek Carr making who lost his brain in the red zone. And if it's Matt Moore, I mean, I'm taking my chances with those. This guy who hasn't really done a whole lot of anything in this league for many years. Not being able to make a play in the red zone.
I agree. Yeah, I wouldn't. I agree you could win by just playing zone, just dropping 7 guys and rushing 4. That might be the way to go.
You know, and that prevents because that prevents disaster, right? Where you don't want the huge play, and you kind of give that home crowd, you kind of give them that sort of momentum, because you're right. Matt Moore has played, and the last thing you want to do is give a guy that little bit of confidence because someone caught and run the ball 65 yards.
Yeah. Well, I think you can't tell the whole story here without factoring in what does the offense do.
True.
Because the offense has kind of picked up steam, and if they get ahead, they kind of take away the run game a little bit from the opposition. So that affects how you're going to play it. I guess transitioning over to offense, I don't think there's any other injury stuff on defense.
I believe Frank Clark did not participate with the neck injury.
I mean for the Packers.
Oh, for the Packers, sorry.
Defense.
No, defensively, I think, Tremont Williams is dealing with the knee. I think, he did last week, he'll play. So, no, defensively, no issues.
Okay.
Kenny Clark is back to full participation. So,
So then, then we transition over to the Packers offense, and it's been they've been living a sort of the high life without Devontae Adams, and it's kind of surprising. They did a really nice job of Rodgers did a really nice job, as we talked about, of finding all the open guys, and now we're going to find out if they can do that 2 weeks in a row, whether Alan Lazard and Jake Kumerow and all those guys can get open again. I think it's kind of interesting that they haven't done anything with a wide receiver. I'm not, in terms of trading, I'm not certain that there's a guy that any of those deals they should have made, but it is interesting that those guys got traded and the Packers weren't involved. We're talking about Mohamed Sanu went to New England for a second round pick. Emmanuel Sanders went to San Francisco for
a third and then some
sixth or something like that. I'm missing one other guy who got traded. Who else am I missing?
Those are the two receivers. There were some corner trades, obviously. I think Zay Jones went from Buffalo to Oakland. He didn't even play. He's been hurt with the Raiders.
Yeah. So anyway, those were the two this past week.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's still some possibilities out there. I just don't know if Brian Gutekunst is going to pull the trigger on it. LaFleur said, they're up for anything. They're looking into every option.
And I'm sure they've called around, I don't think Brian Gutekunst will do anything to get a guy because Khalil Mack isn't here. So we know that he has his limits.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, I don't know if they were interested in Mo Sanu. I don't know if Mo's a fit here. But a second-round pick is... it was a second-round pick.
Well, for New England, it's a third-round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's how...
That's how they view things,
yeah.
Right? And so, I get it. Fans especially are like, well, how come we, the fans speaking here, we don't take the New England approach? They try to win that Super Bowl that year, and they worry about the rest later because the quarterback is in his 40s, and what's the difference with Rodgers? And I can agree with that. I mean, why protect a 2021 draft pick when you're 6-1 in 2019 with a 35-year-old quarterback who is now dealing with a knee injury?
I agree.
So I get that. Conversely, Brian Gutekunst walked into this season with a 53-man roster with these receivers for a reason. And isn't this the reason? To gradually develop them, and in the Matt LaFleur offense, this is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are producing 11 catches, 12 catches 2 weeks ago, 11 catches last week, 260 yards last week. I mean, right?
Here's my... If I'm Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, and we're sitting in the office having a discussion about the receivers, I'm going, man, you know, these guys are fitting in the system really nicely. You know, they're it's been a real good fit. What happens if the system, you know, teams catch up a little bit with the system and we have to start counting on them winning one-on-ones? You know, like right now the system is kind of catching the NFL by storm, and it's not enough teams knowing enough about the Packers, but as they study, you know, it'll be I'm interested to see how in the second meetings between Detroit and Chicago and Minnesota they play the Packers. But all of a sudden you're going to be like, okay, Alan Lazard can't get open because he's, you know, not an elite player. Kumerow can't get open. He's not an elite player. Valdez Scantling can't get open except for deep because he's kind of a one-trick pony. You know, who do you have? You have Davante Adams and then nobody else. I just think as the season goes on, scheme is great, but individual talent is better. And I don't think they have enough individual talent at that position. So if I am Gutekunst, I would take a chance. It just depends who it is.
Right, you know? I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, either way. You know, it's just nothing happens in a vacuum, and I could just also see it's his job to look at the board 3 years out, 4 years out, and say, well, I may need to draft a right tackle. You know, how do I do that? Or is Billy Turner – you know, I mean, those are all the things he weighs. I think now the financial stuff is sort of mitigated at this point where any free agent guys coming in with a big cap number, that's a prorated part. So I think at this point even – you know, a $15 million receiver they can fit because it's half, you know, they only
sure.
pay half the salary.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
You know, like
you
New England did.
Negotiate after the season.
Yeah, so I think all of those things shouldn't really come into play.
What about this idea, though? So you don't want to give up a second round pick, but you've got some depth at some positions. Why not offer up Kyler Fackrell for someone who needs a pass rusher? And say, I mean, he's a free agent after this year. It's kind of a rental. You know, you got three guys there that you like a lot, and you've got Tim Williams, who I don't know if what they think about him. Package him, you know, with a draft pick, so you don't have to give up such a high draft pick. Yeah. You've also got a lot of corners.
I think Josh Jackson might fit into this.
Yeah, the problem, people, I saw a lot of people on Twitter are going, oh yeah, they should deal him. Well, you can't deal a guy when he's playing lousy. You know,
That's true.
Can't get as much for him. They could probably get more for Will Redmond right now than they could get for, or maybe Chandon Sullivan than they could get for Josh Jackson. Someone who's really desperate in the secondary. I mean, Kansas City could use a
right.
corner right now. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could use a corner. I want to see if he is willing to take some chances and get rid of a guy who might be able to help him this year, but you're switching the emphasis over to another position by acquiring a wide receiver.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting because it curious how they think. We won't hear from Brian Gutekunst unless he makes a move.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm sure, as we've talked with him at various points, I think they say the phones always work.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But, you know, at least for this game, Tom, I mean, you know, they should be able to score points. You know, Kansas City,
yeah.
You know, made it to the AFC title game on the strength of this offense a year ago. Horrific defense, which, you know, got them to the hoodie. And Bill Belichick if you can't play defense, he's going to beat you.
Yeah.
And so Andy Reid fired everybody. Brett Veach, their GM, tried to swap out as much talent as they could. You know, out goes Dee Ford, in comes Frank Clark. Out goes Eric Berry, in comes Tyrann Mathieu. It hasn't really worked. They're maybe a little better.
They got four games over. They've given up over 400 yards.
Yeah, and Clark... neck injury, did not participate. Chris Jones, their big defensive tackle, groin injury, has not participated. So you've got their two best pass rushers who, even if somehow get to play, clearly there's some issues there.
Well, listen to this. Before they played Denver, this is what opposing defenses ran against them. Oakland, 19 for 129, 6.8 average. Baltimore, 32 for 203, 6.3 average. Detroit, 35 for 186, 5.3 average. Indianapolis, 45 for 180, 4.0 average. Houston, 41 for 192, 4.7. If Matt LaFleur doesn't run the ball 35 times, then there's something wrong with him because, man, that is awful.
It's terrible. And this feels like a, Aaron Rodgers got his 5 touchdowns last week, Tom. This feels like this should be another Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams show.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, roll in, especially on the road, and not that. Look, if there's one issue this offense has had, even these last few weeks, as it has improved, false starts, holds, getting behind the stick, they've been better at it, mm-hmm. which is why they've scored more. But for as experienced as the two tackles are and the quarterback, that place is going to be loud and a problem. And you can't have first and 15 or second and 13 because you're false starting. I think you run the ball, you set that tone, and you roll into your play action stuff and just kind of keep it simple, if you will, because they've won that way as well.
Okay, here's a question for you. If Davante Adams can run and do some cutting and they think he won't hurt his toe anymore, but he's not quite 100%, would you wait the one more week or would you play him?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, if that to me then would mean he's cleared medically and they feel he can play, so yeah, I'd play him. And I would do what they did with Valdez-Scantling last week, which was
play him until second half.
No,
right?
Yeah, and they didn't play him much. So I would, and then just see, and maybe that's part of the process.
See
of
how
coming
it
in.
Reacts. Yeah. I think I would wait one more week because I would have a decent feeling that I could win this game without him. I know the Chargers are just sucking up the place, but their defense is better, and I think that might be a better game for him to come back, you know, warm weather and maybe one more week. Again, we don't know. All we did was see him warm up yesterday. He didn't even run full speed.
Yeah.
So we don't know what he's doing in the Don Hutson Center when we're outside. But I just say be as cautious as you can and don't rush him back or – if it were me, I would say, okay, it's ready this week. Let's wait one more week and then bring him back.
Right. Yeah, because they've given themselves that cushion. You know, yes, they are in the mix for a bye and home field, and it's worth it to talk about that and think about it. But you're right, to have him active, that would mean Darius Shepherd is probably inactive, which means you need – who's returning your kick. So, I mean, there's a kind of a domino effect there, especially if you felt he could only play a little bit. So I see your point, my gut says they'll kick the can another week.
Yeah, especially if your plan is to run the ball, then don't play him. I mean, don't even
don't have him out there trying to block.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So Matt LaFleur said it would go up to game time. If it's a game time decision to me, then I'm like, forget it. Just let him sit.
Yeah.
So.
Last week, Valdez-Scantling and Geronimo Allison being game time, I think is a little different because if they couldn't go, they were kind of screwed. You know, in terms of even just the rotation and special teams. I mean, you know, so those guys made a little more sense to maybe push the envelope physically. Whereas Adams, I think, is worth the longer view.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I have to give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit for his game plan, which was get the ball to the backs first.
Yeah.
And take all the pressure off the wide receivers and make Oakland spread out and play those guys, and then that opened up a lot down the field. So great game plan on his part, and Rodgers executed it perfectly. Every time something happens with those two, or he has a good game, it's going to be, see, they get along great. Something, they argue, no, they're not getting along. It's not about getting along. It's about their games meshing, about LaFleur's running the offense in the most effective way with Rodgers, you know, taking the most making the most use out of Rodgers' talents. And it's not necessarily Rodgers trying to figure out what he can do best. I think it's figuring out what he can do best in LaFleur's offense. So as long as they can keep doing that, then I think they'll be okay. Coming into this game, there's not a ton of concern I have about their offense. No. Do you have anything that sticks out that would worry you if you were LaFleur?
No, not going into Kansas City, I don't. I mean, I think especially, you know, Robert Tonyan, who's been out since Dallas with a hip, he's returned to practice. Yeah. I still think, you know, they're lacking a little bit of that tight end. But here's the funny thing. Jimmy Graham probably had his best statistical day against Oakland, and it was largely because he was like a deep check down. Like, the Raiders just forgot about
him. Yeah, they were like, forget him, yeah.
And look, for all of his issues physically and even catching the ball, if you leave him wide open, he's going to catch it.
He can still do that.
And I think it was important for them to essentially run the same play of the touchdown he dropped against Detroit. He caught it against Oakland.
Yeah.
Guess the tight end, you know, we're talking about trading for someone asked me, oh, did you call AJ Green? I said, I'd call Cincinnati about Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there's some injury history there, but the point being, Evan Bayless is replaceable. Clearly, they've already done the roster shuffle with him a few times. Yeah. I know Sternberger is on his way back, and that may create a roster issue because you can't really roll with five tight ends.
No.
But, I mean, they also don't have to activate Chase Sternberger necessarily. They could decide after 3 weeks, oh, you know what, he's better off on IR for the rest of the year.
Right.
So, I wouldn't just limit it to the wide receiver as a guy that Brian Gutekunst can maybe look for.
Yeah. One thing I will say with regard to what should the Packers be worried about offensively was that Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, kind of changed gears, I guess, and brought the house against Joe Flacco, blitz like crazy. So I think you could see that. It's not usually a good idea to blitz Rodgers, but the last 3 weeks, teams have sat back and it's not worked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole reason we're talking about them living and existing without Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Is because all of those guys have been available to throw to with very little pressure. I mean, we haven't seen Rodgers having to break contain and stretch a play to the sideline
right.
very often.
It's almost like LaFleur's offense seems to work pretty good when you don't get pressure on the quarterback. Now, that's not exactly what happened with the Rams last year when Belichick beat them and Chicago and Detroit played them really well. They played a lot of zone, and that hurt their offense. Teams seem to be playing a lot of zone against the Packers and just rushing four. Nobody's rushing them.
And so, I think that's a mistake because you actually have this is one of the better pass blocking offensive lines.
Mm-hmm.
Bakhtiari and Galaga have been two of the better pass blocking tackles their entire careers. Elgton Jenkins comes in as a really good pass blocking rookie guard. Billy Turner, I think, ebbs and flows.
Yeah,
we know Corey, but for the most part, though,
better run blocker.
Who's rushing four and being successful? We haven't seen it since Chicago and Minnesota.
Right, right.
You know,
Dallas got nowhere near him. Detroit didn't even really try. They spied him.
Philadelphia Oakland, didn't?
No, Philadelphia didn't blitz him, and Oakland didn't blitz
him. So, now, you know, maybe because Clark is out or potentially out and Jones, you know, Spagnuolo's got no choice. I'm curious to see, you're right, that little chess match there. But generally speaking, though, I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
I think this Packers offense has gotten to a point where they're not on cruise control, but it's going well. They know what works. Matt LaFleur, as we've talked about on this podcast this last month and a half, knows how to game plan,
mm-hmm.
knows how to hit a team the right way. I think he's pushed all the right buttons in Chicago in that way. So, really, it's does Andy Reid's – like, if the Chiefs are going to win, it's going to be the Eagles. It's going to be 35-31,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's up to Mike Pettine's group as a whole to make sure that that doesn't happen, regardless yeah. of who the quarterback is.
Yeah. One thing that might play against Kansas City blitzing a lot, Kendall Fuller, their one of their starting corners,
yeah.
is out, I believe, with
yeah, thumb injury.
Yeah. So they're putting a rookie, I think it's Rashad Fenton, start, and Bashaud Breeland, who
yeah.
we know from last year. So maybe Spagnuolo's not feeling all that. Gutsy, but anyway, last thing, special teams, they got to figure out something on a return game. Boy, is that a non-factor whatsoever.
Yeah, they've managed to be able to live without it, you know, and I think Darius Shepherd was very careful
yeah.
with all of his
yep.
his punt returns. That's fine, I guess, on punt return, but kick return has just been,
it's, I mean,
it's 15 to 17 yards. I think, you know, Dave Tobe is one of the best in football.
Yeah.
And look, whether it's schemed up fake stuff, blocks on J.K. Scott and Mason Crosby, you know, Tyreek Hill hasn't really returned punts this year, but he's done it, he's really good at it.
Yep.
So you're right. I think that, I mean, you mentioned return, but I think overall special teams, the Packers have had their holes.
Yeah.
Both in kick coverage. Kick return has not been good.
Imagine where they'd be without J.K. Scott. He's flipped field position regularly, you know, and he's been the best thing they've had. Well, Crosby's been pretty good too.
Yeah,
but you know, their coverage units on kickoff return haven't been that great. I don't know. I don't know who that answer is at kick returner, but they got to find something.
Yeah, it could be Tremont Smith, who's back on the practice squad, because currently on the active 53, there's
yeah.
nobody.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked on punt return. I think Jair Alexander would be the guy if he can receive the ball at his own 40
mm-hmm.
with room to run.
Right.
And that's almost like when you're hoping for the big play. That's like a, you know, I don't know, pinch hitting Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Wait,
you know, I think that's not a thing you want to do on a regular basis. So I think they're kind of, that's an area where they're just kind of stuck right now.
I think I would consider.
You would? Okay.
No. I'm not saying that. I was saying I would consider Jamal Williams on kickoffs. Because he's not a speed burner, but he's going to get you probably to the 25 or beyond just by breaking tackles. It's a little bit of a risk because you don't want to injure him, but he's not getting enough snaps, and the guy is powerful. I mean, he's a powerful runner, and I would consider putting him
back. What about Dexter Williams? I mean, his blocking is kind of an issue back there, but that
yeah,
means he's
question.
Active. So.
Yeah, that's not a bad, you know, his... I don't know what his fumble history is, but yeah, that's an interesting.
That would mean him being active, though, which usually Matt LaFleur does not like having three running backs.
He was active last week, wasn't he?
He was. I think that was for some of the injury issues.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that would be interesting. But no, you're right, though. That's sort of a blah part of this team. I mean, for as good as J.K. Scott has been and Crosby has been,
yep.
the other side of that has not been.
Right.
So, no, it'll be interesting, Tom. It's an important stretch, you know, no matter who plays quarterback for the Chiefs on Sunday night. Who knows? Could be a shootout. Could be the Packers, you know, kind of going in and imposing their will and coming up with a big road victory. So
yep.
We will see, and we will talk to you from Arrowhead Stadium mm-hmm. late. I guess, well, it'll be early Monday morning.
Yeah,
these primetime games. So we look forward to speaking to you then. Thanks for listening. For Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you in a few days.
Time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.